Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. It's certainly with grateful and humble hearts. We're just so excited to be with our Franklin Road Fleming. And certainly it's our hope and prayer that the God of heaven will continue to bless you in a mighty way. Certainly I'm so grateful for your fine minister, and we'd like to express our appreciation to the elders. And certainly we'll thank you so much for the invitation to come and to be with our family here. We bring you greeting from the I-85 Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The church wants you to know that they send their love. And certainly it's a blessing to be here with you. This afternoon, I want to invite your attention to the text that was selected for us. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And verse number 21. I'm going to go right into our lesson. And then I'm going to try to lift a subject matter for your prayerful consideration. Romans chapter number 7. And y'all excuse me, I'm just so excited. It's just so good to be here. And I'm just certainly thankful to our God. Romans 7 and the verses 21, we'll pick up at verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The Apostle Paul lifts this idea for us of the struggle that takes place within us. I like this text because of the fact that Paul come right down where we live. We all can identify those times when I intend to do that which is right, but evil is always present with me. And so, I want to address the subject matter, a Christian approach to addiction. A Christian approach to addiction. Now, Paul lays out for us several things to contrast. He said, with the law of my mind, I want to serve the law of God. But I find another law, and this law has to do with the law of my members. And they warring against each other. And what we have is the spirit is fighting against the flesh, and the flesh turn around and fight against the spirit. And sometimes I find myself in captivity to sin. And we're able to see this idea of we're going to address the elephant in the room of addiction. Would it be safe to say that perhaps all of us have some kind? No, you don't answer. I want to provoke some thought. You have to answer. Now, it's interesting. Now, I want us to look at this from the standpoint of a Christian approach to it. Now, none of us are immune from addiction. It happens to those of us that are in the church, just like those that are on the outside of the church. But I want to zoom in because we ought to be able to see something
because of the fact that I want to try to approach this idea from a Christian's perspective. And we need to start our lesson by trying to define addiction. What is addiction? Being an abnormal tolerant to and dependent on something that is psychologically or physically habit forming. Now, I want to highlight this idea of being habit forming. Because as we grow up, we pick up a lot of habits. Somebody say, old habits are hard to put away. And this is why we ought to be careful as we grow about picking up habits. Because when a thing become habit forming, it leads to addiction. And we need to be careful. And as I try to peruse through this idea, there's a few things I want us to consider. Also, addiction is a condition of being habitually or compulsively occupied with or involved in something. Habitually, it occupy your time, it occupy your mind, and it get to the point that that's all you seem to be concerned about. Now, I want to try to go through it and be able to help us to be able to identify when something is a habit or an addiction. Based on these definitions, addiction can come from anything that we become obsessed with and can't stay away from. In the lesson, we're going to take a look at some of the things that people can be addicted to, and what the Bible says about addiction and how we should handle it as a Christian. So first, let's take a look at a couple of passages that shows us some things that we can become addicted to. And I remind of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2. The Bible said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, a despiser of those that are good, traitor, heady, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such, he said, turn away. This is a general list of sins that we as Christians are to avoid. And we are to stay away from those things that can cause us to live these kind of lives. Any person can become addicted, first of all. None of us are immune from addiction to any of this list of things. Lovers of themselves. Let's look at that for a moment. When a person loves themselves more than they do anyone else. Now, I want to verify and clarify. You ought to love yourself. The Bible tells us we ought to. But there is nothing wrong with loving yourself. But when it becomes your primary focus, then you are going to, it'll lead to an addiction to yourself. And this will take away from the care and the concern you should have for God and for others. As we look at these sins that we can get addicted to, we see that they all have one thing in common. Because when we become addicted to something, it will cause us to become occupied with our addiction and take away time we should be serving God or serving others. Addiction will consume you. It almost like those that love money. as we grew up, we often hear people say, money is the root of all evil. And of course, we know now that's not the truth, because that ain't what the scripture said. The scripture said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, the whole idea is, though money has no character, but it displays the character of those that use it. Money will corrupt those that goes after it. As Christian, we have to always be mindful of striking some balance in our life. We know we need it to survive and to provide for our loved one. But when that become your primary focus, then you headed for self-destruction. Money is a problem that many have become addicted to. When a person get addicted to money, they will waste away all of their precious time trying to get more of it. Some do this by working 3 and 4 jobs, just trying to get more money in their pockets. And we spend all of our time trying to accumulate more stuff, things, and junk. Because after all, it ain't going to mean nothing when life is over with. I mean, just think about it. We get caught up in life in the hustle and bustle. We ripping and running. And sometimes God had to knock us down to get us to look up. And we busy trying to get stuff. We ain't never happy. We trying to get this stuff. And then when you get that thing, then you after another thing. And it just stuff, things, and junk. You remember the man in Luke 12. He said, I have all my good. I don't even have nowhere to bestow. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And the Lord said, thy fool, thy soul shall be required of thee this night. And then who shall these things be? When life is over, none of the stuff is going to matter. We need to be concerned about keeping life in its proper perspective. And keeping things in their perspective. Those who are addicted to money will never be satisfied. They will want more and more. Sometimes it amazes me. When we have crises in our country, they always appeal to folk who have less money. The folk in the millionaire, y'all are going to take care of that. I mean, and they ask for folk like us who's struggling. And so, no matter how they decide to fulfill their addiction, they will never be satisfied. And it's a continuation. We'll all be after one thing after another, trying to satisfy our addiction. Men shall be lovers of pleasure. Men shall be there are those that will be slanderous. And when people who like to falsely accuse people of things to ruin their reputation, slanderous. Some people get a kick out of doing things like that. And once they get started, it gets stronger. And that's the thing about an addiction. Now, somebody said, but wait a minute, Brother Scurry. What's wrong with eating? We have to eat. Well, of course we do. We have to eat to live. Now, we don't live to eat. And so now, is it possible that a person can have a food addiction? Well, of course they can. Now, a lot of times we like to pull on certain sins, but I want to say this to the church, because all of us need to be careful. And just about anything can become a sin. It may not be in and of itself, but depend on how it has possessed you, it can become a sin. Now, what's the difference in a habit in an addiction? Or is there? Think about anything that is habit forming. And I'm going to walk slow through here because all of us perhaps have something that we engage in often. Here's a man say, I love to play golf. Well, what's wrong with playing golf? Nothing. But something can become wrong with it. When you put golf before your family, then to you, it's a sin. So this is what I mean by in and of itself, it may not be wrong. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every sin and the weight that doth so easily beset us. Now what the writer is saying, there are some things we do that may not be a sin in and of themselves. He said, let us lay aside the sin and the weights. See, there's some weights that we have that they're not sin per se, but they can become. And so we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful and aware of these things. For example, I know a man that was drunk. Because usually when we think about addiction, we think about substance abuse. People on meth, smoking pot, and all the other kinds of drugs. And now the government all of a sudden concerned about opioids because it done got in the gated community. And therefore, a whole lot of people are addicted to these drugs. A man was drunk and he fell off the second floor of a hotel. And the man fell in a position where the doctor say he is sure enough lucky. Because had he not fell in a position, he would have done a lot more damage. But he still broke a leg and one arm. I feel like that's enough damage. Now, he didn't even feel the pain. And he didn't even know the damage that he did until the next day. Because he was under the influence. And that's the reason why the Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath wound without call? I used to wonder why when you under the influence of alcoholism, you suffer an injury. And tomorrow you be asking how it happened. Because you can't even recall how. And so, it's something that all of us need to be aware of. Smoking is another thing that gives people pleasure. As Dave mentioned, I grew up in the career field of, I've been in the printing industry all my working days, working in the circular world. And I remember when I started working, we were making label for Marlboro Company. We print Marlboro label and Newports. And all we did was make the labels. We had nothing to do with the tobacco themselves. We just printed the labels. And one day I had a chance to come. They invited us up to see how they use the label, how they package them. And a man sued the government because he put his cancer on the abuse of the nicotine and so forth. And the Surgeon General asked us, would we print a label on side the package? It was a Surgeon General warning about the danger of consuming the nicotine of a cigarette. And of course, some of the brothers still argued about whether you smoke. Well, if the world knows something wrong with it, the church sure enough ought to know. Nah. What happened to the Marlboro man? See, they don't talk much about that. But see, baby, listen. Anything you do that does harm to yourself, then to you, that's a problem. And that's something all of us need to be aware of. Somebody say, yeah, but brother, I like ice cream. Well, I do too. But when do we know when that thing starts to border on the line of addiction? How do you know? I mean, is it possible for me to become addicted to a food? Well, of course it is. We can become addicted to just about anything. And as children of God, we need to be careful. Everyone knows that smoking is bad for you. How does it destroy your lung cells and it turn them black? It damages your throat and your gum and a host of other things. But addiction to the pleasure of being anyone that engage in such a thing, they find pleasure in the smoking because of the nicotine addiction. And of course, a man that just puff away and he getting pleasure out of it, but at the same time, he's damaging his body. And we need to be concerned about that. 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know our body is the temple of God? The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Why would you want to do harm to where you live? And of course, this is interesting because it says something about how much we care for ourselves. Others find pleasure in nicotine, and they get so addicted to these things that they'll do just about anything to get it. The drug addict, he'll steal from his own parents so he can get more drugs. Hard drugs can kill very fast. They can do great damage to your body. For instance, just after 2 years of using meth, most will lose their teeth. Strong drug caused the worst withdrawal symptom imaginable. It gets so bad that sometimes people have to be hospitalized as they go through their withdrawals. So we need to be careful, church. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For we've been bought with a price. Therefore, let us glorify God in our body. Sometimes, both men and women become addicted to pornography, which is falling under the sin of lust of the flesh. This is another big problem in America today because people can find it anywhere. Spend countless of time sitting down, watching this. But then I think I need to draw a little closer to home because just like that, people become addicted to social media. I mean, is it possible that you are addicted? So far, I have focused in on those things that are sins that do harm our body. But there are many other things that we can be addicted to. And of course, they're not bad in and of themselves, but if we become obsessed with them, they can cause problems with our relationship with God and our relationship with our family. For instance, watching TV. Well, Brother Scurry, what's wrong with watching TV? Oh, well, that's fine. We watch it. That's a lot of clean programming. But now, it can become a problem. When you become so obsessed with it, you don't even pay attention to your children because you're watching your program. You see, we need to be very careful because there's a lot of things and a lot of ways for us to become addicted to different things. And I want us to know, any good thing can be turned into a bad thing. If you allow it to cut you off from living a well-rounded life, a Christian approach to addiction. The one thing that all of us need to be reminded at this afternoon is that in life, we need to strike a balance in life. Life can become top heavy. And sometimes, it's just like the Word of God. People have a tendency to put more emphasis on one sin than they do other sin. And of course, which sin is greater than another sin? You see. And we need to be concerned about that and try to strike some balance in life. Obviously, we are taught in the Bible to serve one another. And of course, we ought to do that. And I want to mention that according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 around the verse number 15, the only place I find the word addiction in the scripture. And the Bible spoke about the house of Stephanus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me try to get over there so we can read that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want us to look at verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know that the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaeus, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so they had preoccupied themselves, and all they wanted to do was to serve the people of God. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Because it allowed us to begin to put things in perspective. And here, and I think this is probably one of the only places we even find the word in the scripture of addiction. Now, I want to move real fast because I want to get to some solution. A lot of time we can highlight and talk about the problem which we have. But then again, sometimes we don't often get solution. So what should be the Christian approach? And that's what I want to zoom in on. And so, it's interesting that the Bible said in Romans chapter 6 in the verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His are to whom you obey. Rather be sin that lead to death or obedient that lead to righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, and having been then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. I speak in the human tongue because of the weakness of the flesh. For just as you present yourself members as slaves unto uncleanness and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your member as slave as to righteousness. This chapter, Paul is pointing out that those who obey the gospel and have been baptized into Christ have been made themselves servants of slave to God. Did you know that, church? When we responded to the gospel, we became slaves to God. We gave up our right to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. One of my nephews said, well, Uncle Albert, well, you can do what you want to do. Well, no, I can't. Now, he was speaking in terms of how old I am. But man, I don't belong to myself, babe boy. I belong to the Lord. I can't do what I want to do. I'm a grown man and I still don't do what I want to do. I still don't do what I want to do because I don't belong to myself. The Apostle Paul said, listen, when I would do good, I find evil being present with me. And then, in order for us to understand, let me pose a few questions to us all. We gave our life to the Lord. We became members of the New Testament church. Before they obeyed the gospel, we obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to us. We became servants of righteousness. And we took on a brand new life. Can we determine if we are addicted to something? If we can see that we are slaves to it. In order to do this, we have to test ourselves by asking ourselves some questions. You remember what Paul said? Prove yourself. What about question like, do you keep repeating what you are doing over and over? Has your desire for that thing become stronger? Are you setting aside more and more time to engage in that activity? Can you stop doing it for 4 weeks? Or does the thought of it just seem impossible to you? Do you find it emotionally fulfilling to do it? Is what you're doing taking away quality time from your family and the kids? Is it affecting your ability to live life? Is it causing you to neglect serving the Lord, studying your word as you should? If you told someone what you were doing with your time, would they be shocked and horrified? Is what you are doing causing harm to your body? What kind of ailment are you suffering right now as a result of what you're doing? Is what you're doing, is it a sin? Now you listen, it's one thing, church, for us to suffer. Life brings. And one of the reasons God allows suffering is to help us to keep perspective. Because there are times in life when we have situations that can't nobody help us but God. And suffering occurs. And it ought to be used to kind of help us to put things in perspective. These are some good questions that we can ask ourselves to determine if we have a problem with addiction. One of the first steps to be able to overcome addiction is to recognize that you have a problem. Now, this 101. You got to, first of all, acknowledge that you have a problem. See, most of our problem is we don't want to admit that we have one. Said to one of my young boys, partner, listen, baby, you have an addiction. Man, I ain't addicted, man. I ain't addicted. Well, let me ask you, can you go one day without it? Well, no. Then what you call it? If that ain't addiction, I don't know what. You can't even go a day. And here I am talking about 2-3 weeks. Now, if you can't go a day without it, sister, yeah, you got a problem, baby. You got a problem. And listen, all is not lost. All is not lost, baby. Because there's hope. There's hope. And let Brother Scurry hasten along before he can try to give you some solution. The sooner you figure it out, the better it'll be for you. Yeah, the sooner you figure out you got a problem. Because the longer the addiction continues, the harder it will be to overcome it. This idea of testing yourself is clearly laid out in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul said, examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self, unless you be disqualified. Paul practiced what he preached because he tested himself daily as part of self-discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore I run, not as uncertainly. Thus I fight, not as one who beateth the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. This exactly what we must do as Christians. We must learn to recognize when we are allowing an addiction to ruin our life and to put our soul in jeopardy. The best way to nip it, the best way to do it, is to learn self-control and perseverance. These are just two of the Christian virtues that Peter talked about in 2 Peter 1:5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtuous knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Notice, if we keep adding these things to the list with self-control and perseverance, we will be prepared to keep addiction from taking over our lives. We'll be prepared. However, sometimes we mess up, and before we know it, we have an addiction that is getting out of control. We need to realize that we are not going to be able to fix addiction in 1 or 2 days, because it's going to take some time to overcome it. But as Christians, we are blessed because there are several things that we can do with God's help to help us to overcome our addiction. Baby, don't never leave God out. My dear brother and my sister, whatever you're planning in life, don't leave God out. Because here we have the final say so. We need remember that when we were baptized into Christ, that ourselves, we died to ourselves, and now we're new creatures in Christ. Because of this, we can get help in times of trouble. And our Lord will be there. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. If you want help with self-control so that you can defeat your addiction, we need to get our priorities straight. Then our approach will be right. As I've already stated, we need to keep in mind that overcoming addiction doesn't often happen overnight. Peter told us we must continue to add to our faith self-control. This means that we may slip back into our addiction from time to time. But as we continue to battle it, we got to continue to look forward and look unto Jesus. But what is important is that we don't give up and we don't give out. We continue to fight the good fight of faith. We need to try and to spend our time around folk that influence and encourage us to exercise self-control and not hang out with people that would tempt us to lose it. Another thing that will help us to maintain self-control and encourage us to stay away from our addiction is by reading and studying God's word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, and they're good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm reminded, as I hasten to a close, one of the elders, we were just talking about running. And one day, they had a 5K going on at the nearest college where I live. And I had signed up to go, to participate. But I got to work that next day, and they informed us that we're going to have to work that Saturday. And so I couldn't be able to go, so I called and I asked them to scratch my name. And of course, Friday night we got called, and they decided, said, we are going to be off. Now, I remind you that I already done taking myself out of the race. Now, don't get lost in the story. When I tell a story, there's always a lesson. Now, I'm trying to encourage all of us, when it comes to the Christian race, it's a race that we're running. But you got to be in the race. Now, if you're sitting on the sideline watching us run, they ain't going to help you none. You got to get in the race. They called and said, we won't have to work Saturday. And so what I did, I got up early Saturday morning. I know the gun going to go off at 8 o'clock. I got on the line, and y'all remember my sister, don't get lost in the story. Now, I'm not in the race. Because I have to work now. 5K. I made it just in time. Pow! Gun went off. And man, I felt good that I was so happy we didn't have to work. And man, I was running pretty strong that morning. And man, they already had announced the prize for the first place winner. And I wasn't giving much thinking about winning the race. But I wanted to run. Because I enjoy running. 5K. And man, and lo and behold, after the race, when I got back to the finish line, I realized that I'm the first one back. And the guy said, we have a winner. We have a winner. Mr. Scurry has won the first. And then they said, but wait a minute, sir. I don't see him in the list. I won first place, and they were giving me to have my first place prize.
And the man said, sir, he didn't register. And there's a sneaky suspicion. Some of us, when this life is over, going to be looking to make heaven your home. But you never even entered the race. You got to enter this race. You can't just sit on the line, on the sideline. Now, this race is entered by everybody the same way. Now, everybody that got in that race registered the same way. Now, I could have made argument. So. Now, y'all, I ran hard. Swearing, I hear out here, man. And then y'all going to talk about, I could have made some argument. But for what? The fact of the matter is, man, I didn't register. You never obeyed the gospel. You never obeyed the gospel. The Bible say that the time going to come when 2 Thessalonians 1 said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with this mighty angel, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I delivered unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Oh, you must believe that. You must believe that with all your heart. You must be willing to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, and I tell you, nay, but except you do repent, you will perish. Then you must be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to acknowledge it now. And the thing about the confession, you either do it now or you have to do it later. Now, right now, the Lord ain't forcing you, and we ought to do it on our own. Be willing to acknowledge that I believe that Jesus is God's Son. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, I confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, then I deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And the final act of obedience is baptism. Baptism puts one in Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the light figure, whereunto baptism does also now save us. What it do, Peter? It saved. What? Baptism? When? Now? What? Baptism? What it do? Save? When? Now? Who? Us. So you need to be baptized and become one of us. We want to give you the opportunity tonight. If you're here this afternoon and you find yourself a guilty distant from the Lord, we want you to make your call and your election sure. Maybe you're a member of the Lord's church and you find yourself a guilty distance. You hadn't been faithful as you should have been. And the church needs you. The church needs your support. And the church can get greater things done if you honor your commitment that you made to the Lord. But we don't know when you're going to come. They said, well, Brother Scurvy, what we need to start doing, Brother Scurvy, we're going to fill out the program for every Sunday morning. Who's going to lead prayer? Who's going to do that? I said, well, listen, that's fine. When everybody here. So here what we're going to do, since we hadn't grown to that point, let's just do this. We'll meet before service start. And we got to go with what we got, baby. Brother such and so, he going to lead some. And we can't even find it. And so we want to encourage you all, baby. The Lord have a work for us. We got to win the city for the Lord. We got to win the city. And together with the Lord, we can do it. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.